You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Lake Charles, Louisiana took a direct hit from Hurricane Laura. This is August 27, 2020. And now they've got a chemical fire in Lake Charles. A cloud of smoke seen for miles. Chemical companies along the coastline, oil companies try to shut down as much operations as they can in advance of a hurricane. We don't know what sparked this fire, but obviously something went wrong. Maybe something hadn't been fully shut down before the hurricane hit. No word of any explosions, but obviously a large chemical fire, and that's going to add to the issues around the Lake Charles area. Hurricane Laura was a Cat 4 when it slammed into that region. They're seeing damage they hadn't seen in that region for decades. At least one 14-year-old girl is killed, apparently a tree falling on her home. Still don't know if it's tornado or hurricane winds. It really makes no difference, does it? Laura is now downgraded, but still moving up from Louisiana. Police issuing a report on that shooting of Jacob Blake in Neosho, Wisconsin. And they are saying, Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're saying they had a knife on the floorboard of the car and that he admitted he had a knife. He was shot as he was leaning into the car, reaching down as if he was reaching for something on the floorboard or under the seat. We still don't know full details or facts beyond that. We do know Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announcing the state patrol is now en route to Minneapolis to restore order. Demonstrators took to the streets to engage in criminal activity again. This is because a homicide suspect apparently committed suicide. He killed someone else, police tried to close in, and they say he shot himself. That's the story from police at this time. Either way, folks were in the streets causing rioting and issues again. Now back to this shooting of Blake, Jacob Blake, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yesterday, all three NBA playoff games scheduled postponed. Players around the league choosing to boycott in a strong statement against racial injustice. Games between Milwaukee, Orlando, Houston, Oklahoma City, LA, and Portland called off. NBA says they'll all be rescheduled, not saying when. And in addition to that, when that took place, NBA veteran and analyst Kenny Smith walked off the set of the NBA on TNT, showing his solidarity for the players. Do they accomplish anything by walking off? They're getting attention. They're getting coverage. They're getting support from President Obama, former President Obama. He heaped praise on them for standing up for what they believe in. Jared Kushner, White House advisor, originally denounced them doing so, but he said, you were fortunate you're in a financial position to be able to strike in such a shooting. You're going to get your money anyways, what he's suggesting. And what Kushner is saying, maybe you need to formulate concrete solutions instead of just taking a day off from playing a game. The Milwaukee Brewers game against the Cincinnati Reds also postponed last night because of that shooting. Does any of that accomplish anything? The question keeps coming back around. Well, it draws attention. To that extent, it served a purpose. We have some good news on the economic front. Unemployment now dipping below 10%. 1 million more did file jobless claims, but unemployment dipping below 10%. We're slowly getting the country out of the disaster that has come with COVID. The official unemployment rate now at 9.9%. We were at 3.5% before COVID hit, and quickly as jobs were shut down, businesses closed, people stayed in, stayed away, shot up almost to 15%. So a guy in a Tesla says, well, I count on the car to do the job. That's his explanation, his explaining how he ran into a sheriff's car and a police car. Well, what was the driver doing? He had it on autopilot in Tesla. He was relying on the car to do the job while he was watching a movie. Not a good idea.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Democrats spent 4 days attacking America. Joe Biden said that we were living through a season of darkness. But as President Trump said, where Joe Biden sees American darkness, we see American greatness.
Those are the words of Vice President Pence last night as he accepted the party's nomination to be on the ticket with President Trump. Pence again, of course, to serve as vice president. Tonight, President Trump will wrap up the GOP convention, officially accepting the nomination of his party. And then we're off to the races, as if we haven't been already. But one thing that Pence was pointing out last night is something I was hammering last week. Every night of the Democrat National Convention, there were more riots in the streets in Portland and elsewhere, and not one mention about law and order, much less condemning the riots. Just don't mention it. It doesn't exist. We can move past it. Now, the Democrats ignored several other things. They did not once get into the so-called Russian collusion thing. They just have decided that was a losing proposition. We'll walk away from it. They didn't even mention the impeachment effort of President Trump during the Democrat National Convention. They did have a lot of negative and attack, but they didn't get into the two of the biggest things they were pushing in his first 4 years. Yeah, I say first 4 years because I'm expecting he's going to have another 4 years. But more importantly, with what was going on in the streets each of those nights and leading up to it, the violence, the rioting, the looting, the arson. And they had nothing to say about it. Nothing. Well, yesterday I played for you, if you were listening, some comments being exchanged on Tuesday evening between Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo on CNN. Here's part of that exchange as they were basically, I think this is Lemon stating that he agreed there are things happening and it's being ignored by the Democrats.
I do think that this, what you said, what's happening in Kenosha is a Rorschach test for the entire country. And I think this is a blind spot for Democrats. I think Democrats are ignoring this problem or hoping that it will go away. And it's not going to go away. And so, unless someone comes up with a solution over the next 73 days or 70, so however many days.
68 days.
So it's not going to, the problem is not going to be fixed by then. But what they can do, and I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is. He's got to address it. He's got to come out and talk about it.
Those, again, the words of Don Lemon at CNN, saying this is a blind spot for the Democrats. They can't just go on and totally ignore this. That was Tuesday night. And you look back over the history of the DNC for all those nights, not one word was said. And that's what even Lemon and Cuomo had to admit, that the Democrats were not addressing this. And they're trying to make a point up because they saw that the Republican National Convention every night was hammering home safety and security for our nation, our land, our streets, your county, your city, your community. Law and order. And the Democrats had that blind spot, in the words of Don Lemon, not dealing with it. And maybe they couldn't. And again, Lemon is saying Biden has to do something at some point.
He's got to come out and tell people that he is going to deal with the issue of police reform in this country, and that what's happening now is happening under Donald Trump's watch, on Donald Trump's watch. And when he is the president, Kamala Harris is the vice president, then they will take care of this problem. But guess what? The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling. Mm-hmm. It's showing up in focus groups. It is the only thing, it is the only thing right now that is sticking.
And there you have the concern for Democrats. Yeah, I guess if it continues to show up in the polls and people are really getting more incensed, and I don't mean just Republicans, I don't mean just independents, I mean even Democrats are getting upset, we're going to have to deal with it. And, of course, you heard Lemon say the thing to do, at least say it's all happening on Donald Trump's watch. When I get in, things will be better. Well, that's pie in the sky, and you know it, and I know it, and they know it. Yeah, if I get elected to this, I'll do that, and I'll make it all better. I want to share a little story with you very quickly. When I was in high school, in my senior year, I decided to run for class vice president. I had a friend who wanted to be president, and I was going to support him. But I wanted to be senior class vice president. I was running against a very popular jock. I wasn't a jock. You know, he was big on the football team. And I kind of, you know, I liked him. I guess he liked me. I mean, we weren't closest friends, not like I was with the guy that's going to be president, but both of us were friends of the guy that was going to be president, or at least the one we wanted for senior class. So we did our campaigning, and I came up with what I thought was something that would really appeal to my audience, my demographic. We kids, we need a place to go. We're not allowed to go in clubs and bars, obviously, because of alcohol. We need to have a club just for teenagers, where we can go and there'll be no alcohol, no tobacco, and yet we can go and dance and have fun and enjoy ourselves. That's what I will have happen for you. I will make that happen for you. I will work for that. Now, between my campaign slogan and approach of what I was trying to offer and the jock and all the support he was getting from the football and baseball teams and so forth, we ended up tied both serving as vice president. And my campaign promise to find and create a club for teenagers didn't happen. I didn't know the first thing about how to do it, but it sounded like a good idea. Yes, I sold it out. I sold myself for the votes to make a promise that maybe I thought I could keep, but maybe deep down inside I knew I probably couldn't, but it sure sounded good. I learned early how to play that political game. So the Democrats now watching these poll numbers and so forth, they're realizing we can't just say this is happening on Trump's watch and that we'll take care of it. We got to make a statement now, and somebody got to Biden finally. Maybe they played the clip you just heard of Don Lemon saying he's got to act, he's got to do it. And in fact, Lemon even said, I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it, but he's got to address it. Stand by. We don't know how big this is going to get, but here comes a remark from Joe Biden refuting the riots. Be careful. This is very, very big. Here it comes.
Protesting brutality is a right and absolutely necessary. But burning down communities is not protest. It's needless violence. Violence that endangers lives. Violence that guts businesses and shutters businesses that serve the community. That's wrong.
That's it. That's it. There's nothing else to it. That's it. And, of course, it began by saying all the protests and everything are okay. We accept that. Get to the issue. And when it gets to the issue, it's wrong. That's condemnation from Joe Biden about the riots. It's wrong. Looks to me like we're getting the same kind of thing from the politicians of the blue cities and blue states where all this is happening anyway. Lip service, it's wrong. You know what police in Portland are doing? They're now saying the police chief, Chuck Lavelle, he was looking at a Saturday rally in which Black Lives Matter protesters squared off with pro-police protesters as they held a Back the Blue rally. He said, we decided not to get involved. He said, sometimes a more prudent course is not to get involved. You run the risk of making a bad situation remarkably worse. Some of the pro-police protesters came with paintball guns, bats, even real guns. The racial injustice protesters came with rocks and fireworks, according to the Washington Post. And they were firing paintballs and fireworks back and forth at each other for a couple hours, and some scuffling and fighting, no guns fired, and the police just stood aside. And apparently at one point, a member of the far-right Proud Boys actually pointed a gun at the counter-protesters, no shots fired. And police were just going to stand back and let that happen. I can understand the confusion because when they do something, is anything going to happen? And a perfect example, again, goes to Portland. An 18-year-old accused of setting a fire outside a Portland Police Bureau precinct during some of these protests, make that riots, was sentenced yesterday. This 18-year-old actually pled guilty to first-degree arson. And his attorney argued, well, my client kind of attended several protests, just kind of got caught up in it. And then he said, I'm sorry for my actions. He set a fire trying to set the police bureau precinct building on fire. And he said, I'm sorry for my actions. Pleading guilty. He was sentenced. Do you know what he got? 3 years probation and community service. That, again, reflects the kind of stuff we just heard from Joe Biden. Protests are okay. The other things are wrong, and you shouldn't do it. But even if you do, we're going to kind of look away. We were talking about this in the last hour with James Carafano. If you missed that interview, remember you can always go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and pull up any of the programs you want and hear them or share them with someone else. Well, I got something else I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But we were talking about how CNN the other night had one of their correspondents in the wee early hours looking at Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he was saying that it's been pretty peaceful all day, and behind him there's a fire burning. And while he's speaking, words crawling across the screen say, fiery but mostly peaceful protest after police shooting. Sounds like a joke or a comedy routine, doesn't it? But it's fact. And they put it up there. You talk about being absurd. Nonsensical. Again, because they're not calling it for what it is. I mentioned you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and pull up any podcast. You should also know you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and subscribe to podcasts, have them sent directly to you every time we put them up. They'll be done automatically. We don't sell our list to people, to anyone else. Don't use it for anything. Cost you nothing. LarryConnorsUSA.com. And put down that you want to be subscribing and have it delivered directly to you so you don't have to go hunt and find them. You might try that. Coming up in the next few segments, Hillary Clinton telling Biden, don't concede on the night you lose. And more still to come.
Mustang Sally, guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I believe that we need my husband's leadership now more than ever in order to bring us back once again to the greatest economy and the strongest country ever known. God bless you all, your families, and God bless the United States of America.
Those are the words of First Lady Melania Trump closing out Tuesday's Republican National Convention. Bette Midler didn't really hear what she said. All she noticed was, as she quickly tweeted out, saying, oh God, she still can't speak English. Then put in another tweet. She can speak several words in a few languages. Get that illegal alien off the stage. And then added, you're a one lucky Slovenian. All that surgery and you hit kind of a horrible jackpot chained to a colossal idiot. Well, the backlash started immediately, calling Bette Midler xenophobic for mocking Melania Trump by saying she still can't speak English. Actor James Woods even tweeted, the part of diversity mocks an American, he says, the party of diversity mocks an American for her accent. Another one said, who knew xenophobia was a wind beneath your wings, Bette Midler? And others. One of them saying, I don't support Trump, but Bette's tweet still xenophobic. Still another one saying, I'm pissed at Bette Midler for being xenophobic, period. I absolutely do not like Melania, but you don't have to make fun of her English. They were encouraging her to retract it, apologize, take it down. She never did delete the tweets. Bette Midler did not delete them, but she did walk them back a little bit and even offer an apology. Here's what she tweeted. Well, all hell is broken loose because I said Melania still can't speak English last night. I was wrong to make fun of her accent. America is made up of people who speak with all kinds of accents. They are all welcomed always. And that's it. That's it. She'll get a pass. From then on, okay, she did wrong. She apologized. It's all okay. That's the way they do on the left. Once it's out there, you don't have to bother about the fact that it might do damage or anything else. If there's any flashback to you, and you say, oh, my bad. Same thing with this CNN political analyst, Joe Lockhart, the other day. lashing out at Covington Catholic graduate Nick Sandman, remember, who won that multi-million dollar defamation settlement from CNN as they mocked him, standing there politely listening to an American Indian man bang a drum in front of him and make remarks, and the kid did nothing. He just stood there and smiled, and yet he was charged and criticized by mainstream media as inciting this Native American elder to do this. And he didn't do anything. He was not the aggressor. He was standing there smiling because I just said I didn't want to do anything to upset him. And CNN's Joe Lockhart calls him a snot-nosed, entitled kid. Well, your network paid out a lot of money. Are you upset, Joe, because he just got several times your salary multiplied years and years over? Coming up before we wrap up today, I want you to hear from the young man who might be the youngest congressman ever elected. His remarks are very important. I want to share those. But before then, the word from Hillary Trump to Joe Biden is, do not concede on the night of the election. Even if you're beat, do not concede that night. Oh, this is going to be good. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One of you will not win this election. So my final question to you tonight, are you willing to accept the outcome as the will of the voters? Secretary Clinton?
Well, I support our democracy. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But I certainly will support the outcome of this election.
Those were the words of Hillary Clinton. As she was on the debate stage, that was September 26, 2016, with Donald Trump. And you heard the question. One of you will not win. Are you willing to accept the outcome of this election? Trump kind of went along with it to some extent that night, but the question came up again in another debate in October, now closer to the election. Trump's answer.
Of course, I would accept a clear election result, but I would also reserve my right to contest or file a legal challenge in the case of a questionable result.
Now, see, that was delivered to one of the rallies he was at, and said, I'd accept it, but I would preserve my right to challenge and make sure it was done legally. Well, of course, that still didn't sit well with Hillary. Her attitude was, you can't do that. You have to accept the vote of the people. When they vote, that's the people's vote. You have to accept it. Because she was convinced she was going to win. All the polls said she was going to win. No poll was showing that Trump was going to win. Now, one of my frequent guests, Dr. Gerard Lamero, who doesn't do polling, he does model forecasting, he predicted that Trump would win. In fact, in January of 2016, he said Trump will win the Republican primary, and at that time there were, 15 others? And I didn't buy that, to be quite honest. I told the doctor, I don't see that happening. But sure enough, he ends up getting the convention endorsement. And then I began to think, maybe Dr. Lamero knows what he's talking about, Larry. And sure enough, the election came, and he did win. But the very fact that Trump at that time later said, you know, I'm going to reserve the right to check and make sure the election is done properly, that I don't necessarily want to accept without questioning what was done. At that time, Obama, campaigning on behalf of Hillary, also chastised Trump for daring to fly in the face of democracy.
When you try to sow the seeds of doubt in people's minds about the legitimacy of our elections, that undermines our democracy. Because our democracy depends on people knowing that their vote matters.
Yeah, right? Our vote matters. And Obama said that. Well, again, Trump. Trump was dealing with this aspect that he was fearful of fraud taking place. The Hillary campaign was thinking he might actually win popular vote, but we've got the Electoral College. That's that blue wall he cannot get over. He can't break through. And he may win some popular votes. He may carry the bigger number of popular votes, but if he doesn't win the key electoral vote states, he will not win. And they were convinced of that, and everything went upside down. He did indeed win the key blue electoral votes, and they broke through that wall, blew the thing to pieces. Now, she claimed that I still won by popular vote by 3 million. But, of course, the question is, well, were they legal people voting, and were they legal to begin with in any other way? But, again, let's go back to Trump in 2016 and his concern about just simply saying, okay, if I lose, I lose. Or do I?
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
Yeah, that was a good kicker. If I win. All right, that brings us to where we are now. You heard the question posed to Hillary in that debate I mentioned to you a moment ago, September 2016. One of you will not win. Will you be willing to accept? She said, yes, I will. Of course, it's our Democrat way. And you have to accept it. And who fought from that night to this very day that she was cheated, she lost because it was stolen from her? It was the Russians involved. And then it was whatever else. Climate change had to affect the voting somewhere. And then we had all this other stuff. And she said, I still won the popular vote. But were they legal votes? So now Biden and Trump are in a very close race. Now, at the time, all those questions were being thrown about, will you accept it? And that specific question to both of them, one of them happening less than 3 weeks until Election Day. And again, Trump said he may not accept the results and would reserve the right to file a legal challenge. At that time, according to the survey, says Clinton was leading in battleground state polls and expanding into traditionally Republican states. In other words, she was beginning to get ready to mop the floor with Trump. Flash forward from then to now. The polls have been tightening and tightening and tightening, and now Trump might actually be ahead of Biden when you compare all the polls. I'm not going to get into all of them. They really mean nothing except for what happens in November. We'll spend more time on it tomorrow because Dr. Lamero will join us again with his evaluation of the Democrat National Convention. And we've talked about that, but now that he'll talk about the Republican National Convention as it wraps up tonight. And we'll see where those polls are in specifics. But here's what Hillary Clinton did 2 days ago. She issued a warning to Joe Biden. She said, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win. If we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is. She said, we've got to have a massive legal operation ready to go. See, they're accusing Republicans of already trying to tamper with absentee balloting, using the postal system to screw things up, and that so many will be voting by mail due to the coronavirus pandemic. Folks just too afraid to go outside and go vote with a mask, standing your distance, but you're certainly willing to go into a restaurant, a bar, go get prescription drugs at the at your drugstore, go buy some soup for the kids and Cheerios, whatever else you're buying. But when it comes to voting, that's just too dangerous. I'll have to mail it in. I would encourage you, do not mail it in. If you do, go get an absentee ballot, hand deliver it. Make sure it gets there yourself. But here's Hillary, the very person who said you have to accept the will of the people. And she even added that Joe really has to pay attention. She has to be careful because he could be ahead by 2-3 million votes and still lose. I know. So she's urging him, do not concede on election night under any circumstances. This is going to be pretty interesting. It really is. That night, get a big, big thing of popcorn because it's going to be a good night to have popcorn and just watch. By the way, of course, during the Republican National Convention, the other night, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made statements endorsing Trump, and he pre-taped it in Jerusalem. And that's the Secretary of State. And the left began to shout, the Hatch Act, the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act says you cannot have government employees endorsing a political candidate. Well, they were trying to make all that noise, but I guess they forgot what happened in the 2012 Democrat National Convention, 2012. Obama already in office 4 years, going back for a second 4 years. National Review brought it up, said, well, here they are concerned about a cabinet member, Mike Pompeo, speaking on behalf of the president the other night. Now, granted, he's the first Secretary of State to do it, but in 2012, how about these cabinet members on the Obama cabinet speaking out, endorsing him? Health and Human Service Secretary Sebelius at the time, Secretary of the Interior Salazar, Secretary of Ag Velasic, Secretary of Ed Duncan. You also had the Veterans Affairs Secretary, and you had the U.S. Small Business Administration officer, all speaking, endorsing Obama to be reelected. The Hatch Act only applies, I guess, if you are a Republican, not if you're a Democrat. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to go back and let you hear some words from a powerful young man's statement last night at the Republican National Convention. More than likely going to be the youngest member of Congress ever elected. And what he had to say in his story and how he was criticized and mocked by at least one member of the left for what he did. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Good evening. I'm Madison Cawthorn, and I'm running to represent North Carolina's 11th Congressional District. This is a time of great adversity for our country, and I know something about adversity. At 18 years old, I was in a horrific car accident that's left me paralyzed from the waist down. Instantly, my hopes and dreams were seemingly destroyed. I was given a 1% chance of surviving, but thanks to the power of prayer, a very loving community, and many skilled doctors, I made it. It took me over a year to recover. My first public outing in a wheelchair was to a professional baseball game. You know, before my accident, I was 6'3". I stood out in a crowd. But as I wheeled through the stadium, I felt invisible. At 20, I thought about giving up. However, I knew I could still make a difference. You know, my accident has given me new eyes to see and new ears to hear. God protected my mind and my ability to speak. So I say to people who feel forgotten, ignored and invisible. I see you. I hear you.
Those are powerful remarks from Madison Cawthorn last night at the Republican National Convention. And you heard in that brief synopsis his story of being a teenager, severely injured in a car wreck that left him paralyzed from the waist down. Imagine your life in front of you as a teenager and suddenly you can find a wheelchair. Some will say you're lucky to be alive, and you're thinking, yeah, really? Maybe, maybe not. Well, you're lucky you still have your mind and you can think, and yeah, maybe I'm still lucky, maybe I'm not. Well, this young man dealt with all of those traumas and nightmares and issues that hopefully no one else would have to live through, but many have, and some have done better than others. This young man decided to pour himself into politics. He went in and defeated Haywood County's Linda Bennett in the North Carolina's 11th Congressional District, the woman being supported, endorsed by Donald Trump, actually. This has replaced Mark Meadows, his seat in Congress, as Mark Meadows went to the White House, became chief of staff. And I'm sure Meadows said, well, the person should be Bennett. Bennett didn't win, even with Trump support. This 24-year-old Madison Cawthorn did. And Trump is now supporting him. And more importantly, they gave him a chance to be on the stage in front of the Republican National Committee last night. And he talked about how important his age is.
I just turned 25. When I'm elected this November, I'll be the youngest member of Congress in over 200 years. And if you don't think young people can change the world, then you just don't know American history. George Washington was 21 when he received his first military commission. Abe Lincoln, 22 when he first ran for office. And my personal favorite, James Madison, was just 25 years old when he signed the Declaration of Independence.
That's a pretty good history lesson, isn't it? And then he talked about his vision. Just listen to this vision.
We are committed to building a new town square. It welcomes all ideas and all people. Here we will have freedom of speech, not freedom from speech. In this new town square, you don't have to apologize for your beliefs or cower to a mob. You can kneel before God, but stand for our flag.
And there is what a word, a phrase that set off a PBS reporter. PBS reporter. PBS, which is funded by federal tax dollars. And this reporter, Yamichi Alcindor, wrote, Madison Cawthorn made it a point to stand, suggesting that all Americans should stand during the Pledge of Allegiance and National Anthem, a direct rebuke of actions by people, including black athletes currently sitting out games, protesting police brutality. He had not stood at that point, but he mentioned the words of standing. And just in saying that you should stand for our pledge and our allegiance, this PBS reporter decided to attack him like that. Well, she quickly got rebuked by others. National Review contributor Jeff Bellar wrote, how on earth could you possibly turn the rather moving act of a freaking paraplegic rising for the national anthem into some weird BLM trip? When someone holds a door open for you, is that a rebuke of BLM too? My patience for all of this reaching its limit. Another reporter, Daily Caller, wrote, the activist found a way to turn a paraplegic standing up in his wheelchair as an act of white supremacy. Now, the remark you just heard, he had not stood. But as he was making those remarks, two of his friends came out to help him. And as he made these last statements, he did, with their help, stand.
I say to Americans who love our country, young and old, be a radical for freedom. Be a radical for liberty, and be a radical for our republic, for which I stand, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and may God bless America.
And for that, the PBS reporter said he made it a point to stand, and mocking a paraplegic that stood and said, this is what I believe in. I hope she feels really good about herself. And I hope all of that comes home to roost for her and others like her that have that attitude. All right, that wraps today. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.